Thank you, Lord. Can you tell that the Lord is ready to work a new level in your life? Can you tell that he does not want us to be the same? Can you tell that Jesus is opening those doors wide for us and saying, come on. Come on, Glenville. Time to move. Get ready, get ready, get ready. God is so good, saints. Now, saints, I'm going to tell you all already that before I even stepped in the door this morning, the Holy Spirit had already gripped hold of me, and I'm so excited about what God is doing in our lives. So excited so much that I did not put a sermon outline in the bulletin. So I'm going to be testing you all to make sure you're following along. You got to keep up. This is a five-point sermon, so I'm going to be testing to see who remembers all 5 points. The first service did real good, amen? They got all of them. But let me tell you, I'm just so excited about what God is doing in the life of Glenville. We all are, all of the pastoral staff and the leaders, lay pastors, elders, and deacons, we are so excited about what God is doing here at Glenville New Life Community Church. Saints, 2 weeks ago, we had our anniversary celebration. And Pastor Rick stood up here and he kicked us off with a wonderful sermon and he introduced our new campaign. So your first quiz today is, what is the name of our campaign? This side got it real good over here by Pastor Tony. Let's try that one more time. What is it? Almost. Striving for excellence, excelling in our giving. Excelling in our giving, saints. And we know, Lord, the Lord has put us on a new journey. And it's a lot of information that we're going to be learning and we're going to be growing. And so we're going to take our time, saints. This is not a rush. We're going to be taking our time and making sure that everybody's on board and everybody understands what's happening and what we're doing. And Pastor Toby kept us going after Pastor Rick's kickoff sermon. She kept us going with her message, and she talked about excelling in giving, how it touches who? All right, y'all was there, right? It was a good sermon. I know I heard it. So Pastor Toby kept us going with talking about excelling in our giving and how it touches God. And today I'm going to be talking about excelling in our giving, how it touches others. And then Pastor Rick is going to conclude us with excelling in our giving, how it touches who? Look at her to me, way back. Right? Was that you, Jackie? Okay. So we are going to be talking about how our giving touches God, how our giving touches others, and how our giving touches ourselves. Amen. Before we go on, let us take a moment to pray. Gracious God, you are amazing. And we thank you, Lord, that you took the time to walk upon this earth, Lord, and we can see you walking in that beautiful garden. And that you decided, Lord, to take your finger, Lord, and to write right in the earth. And I can imagine you wrote the words forgiven and saved. And you, precious Lord, you took the time to walk upon the waters and to calm the storms, Lord Jesus. And we're praying right now, Holy Spirit, that you would open our eyes and open our hearts, Lord. Help us to see that you are preparing us for something different, something that we can't even understand nor see right now, Lord. Help us to open our ears to hear all that you have for us today. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you're doing. And it's in your name that we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. So, saints, the focus of today's message is how our giving touches who? Others. All right. Now, I want you to know that since we started this campaign has allowed me and a lot of other people to take the time to just reflect back on to what we did 10 years ago. 10 years ago, we had a different campaign. And we all started out together, and it was a lot of excitement, and we had a lot of material that we studied and learned. And do you remember one of the things that we worked in was a book called The 40 Days of Purpose? Do you all remember that by Rick Warren? And Rick Warren taught us a whole bunch about our purpose in life and giving. And who still has their 40 Days of Purpose book? All right, that's good. That book has a lot of good material in it, and sometimes just going back through it and reflecting can help us to keep on in our journey. When I was looking through Rick Warren's book, he talked about giving. And he had this really nice quote in his book that I carry with me and I cherish, and I really like it, and I kind of adapted it to myself. And it goes like this. I was not created just to consume. I was not created just to consume all the resources here on earth. I was not created just to eat, just to breathe, and just to take up space. God designed me to make a difference with my life. While there are many best-selling books, he goes on to say, there are many best-selling books that offer advice on how to get the most out of life. That is not the reason that God created me. I was created to add to life on this earth, not to just take from it. God wants me to give something back into the lives of others. He created us all to do that, amen? And we're going to be talking about how our giving touches other people. We want to really look at how we touch other people. See, saints, it's real easy to focus on how giving touches us and how we're blessed in our giving. But we really want to focus on how does my giving touch another person? What happens in that other person's life? So, saints, that's what we're going to be looking at. Before we go on, I want you to already know that our giving touches people in five ways. Say five ways. Five ways. So we're going to be pointing out five ways. And when I keep pointing out those five ways, I want you to know what those five ways are, okay? But before we start into those five ways, I want you to know that the people who receive our gifts, those others, they don't know some things about us. There are some things about us that those other people that receive our gifts don't know. One thing is they don't know how afraid we are sometimes to give. You know, saints, I share with the leadership team, with the pastoral team, that I'm afraid. I was afraid 10 years ago when we started that campaign. I was nervous. I was thinking, wow, God, you want to take us to raise all of that money? Is it really possible that you can do all of that through us? And I was afraid, saints, because I didn't want to be taken advantage of. Who here wants to be taken advantage of? Who wants to give their money away to somebody that's going to use you up and spit you back out? Nobody. But I didn't want to be taken advantage of. And the people that we are giving money to don't know that we don't want to be taken advantage of. Another thing that the people who we give to and we offer to may not know is that most of us here really do want to help people. Anybody really want to help somebody? We really do want to help somebody. And we want to know that our money is going to be used to help people. So we're going to return now to how our giving can touch somebody in the five ways. Our first one, how our giving touches others, is by introducing them to God. Introducing them to God. You see, saints, we as Christians, we get so comfortable. And we think that because we know the name of Jesus Christ, that everybody else in the whole world knows Jesus' name. How many of you have been going to church all your life? Yep. See, sometimes we get real comfortable thinking that just because we know Jesus Christ, that everybody else does. Well, saints, that's not true. There is a whole lot of people right here in our very own community that do not know the name of the Lord, that have never met Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And it is because of our giving that we are able to touch others by, number one, introducing them to Jesus Christ. You might want to say, well, how do we do that? Let me give you an example. This past summer, we had many opportunities for ministry with our young people. We had our summer program. How many gave to the summer program? Anybody give to the summer program? All right, we got to do better than that next year. We had our Men of Arms summer camp. Many of you offered to the Men of Arms program. And then we had our vacation Bible school. Many of us gave to the vacation Bible school, saints. And it was during this summer that because of our giving, because of our sacrifice that we made on behalf of Jesus Christ, we were able to introduce a lot of young people to Jesus Christ for the very first time. And I know you're sitting there thinking, are you sure, Pastor Kelly? I'm absolutely sure. You see, saints, I was up in the classroom with the young people. And I was just up there doing my thing, teaching, talking, having a good time with the young people like I always do. And I said, well, let me talk to you about Jesus Christ. And this little voice, this little precious girl voice came across and said, Jesus, who? Who is Jesus Christ? I was kind of startled, y'all. I didn't know what to do about that because I've never heard anybody say, who is Jesus Christ? She said, who is Jesus Christ? And I was like, what? You don't know? But then I thought about it, saints. It was because of our giving that I was able to turn to this young little girl and say, let me tell you who Jesus is for the very first time right here at Glenville New Life Community Church. And she was not the only one. Because of our giving, because of our faithfulness, saints, many people get to know Jesus Christ for the very first time. And there are many other ways other than Glenville, way outside of Glenville. Do you all remember when we participated in the least of these ministries? Do you all remember that? And we raised funds to support the wheelchairs for the world program. Well, there's a woman that sponsors that program. Her name is Johnny Erickson Tata. Many of us are familiar with that name, right? Well, Johnny is a quadriplegic, and at the age of about 19, she got into an accident that caused her to lose the ability to move all parts of her body below her neck, amen? I think she has a little bit of arm movement in the little arm, but she is a quadriplegic. And her greatest goal in life, saints, is to share wheelchairs with thousands of other people who do not have the opportunity to have wheelchairs. And along with that wheelchair that she gives and shares with people, she shares the message of Jesus Christ. And she introduces thousands of people who never, ever, ever heard the name of Jesus Christ before they hear it through her. And so, saints, when we decided to make the sacrifices and give to the least of these projects and to give to those wheelchairs, we participated in someone getting to know Jesus Christ for the very first time. So our number one is our giving touches other people by introducing people to Christ. Number one. So our number two is our giving can touch someone by helping them to increase their faith, saints. There are many people that already know Jesus Christ. Many of us here already know that there is a Savior. But sometimes Jesus takes all of us and says, I need to increase your faith a little bit. I need you to grow deeper in your trust for me. I need you to increase your belief in my powers and my abilities. You know, saints, we never realize how our giving can affect another believer in Jesus Christ, saints. Our Old Testament story today was taken from the book of 1 Kings, and we met the prophet Elijah and the widow. Now, in this story, many of us are very familiar with this story, but the widow is the giver in the story. The widow is the one who is the one that is about to give, and most of the time, we always focus on the giver. What does she get out of this? How was she blessed from her giving? But today, we're going to actually focus on the receiver. We're going to focus on Elijah. What did Elijah get out of her gift of giving? Now, let's go through the story a little bit because I know everyone doesn't know the story. So we have the prophet Elijah, and we have this widow. And the prophet Elijah has been working and serving God for a very long time. And here we have this widow who is very, very poor. Say poor, saints. Poor. This lady was poor. She didn't even have a loaf of bread. She had a cup of flour, a little bit of oil. She did not have any wood in her house, so she had to go outside of her house, collect up some few small sticks to try to make a fire. Can you imagine her taking little sticks and rubbing them together? Because they didn't say she had a match. She had some sticks. And here is this widow. She got out of bed that morning And she knew all she had was this cup of flour, this little bit of oil, and that she was going to go outside, pick up some sticks, bring them home, and make the last meal for herself and her son. And she was preparing to die because she knew there was no more. You see, saints, I think a lot of times we take it for luxury that we have ministries and programs that help people, that we can go downtown and get some assistance, and we can reach out to a neighbor for help, or we can come to the church for help. A lot of people in a lot of areas do not have that ability to reach out for help. But this widow was one of them. She did not have anybody to call upon to ask for help. Saying so she went to prepare her last meal. And the widow did not even expect to meet Elijah. She was just focused on, I'm going to get them sticks. I'm going home to make that bread. I'm going to eat it. My son's going to eat his portion. And then we're going to sit and we're going to die. That was her focus when she got out of bed that morning. She did not expect to meet anybody along the way. But as she's walking, here she encounters Elijah. She doesn't know anything about this prophet Elijah. She doesn't even know his name. He just comes up to her. And he wants a bit of her food. Now, I know you all are thinking, a little bit of her food? You just told me she didn't have very much. And here he is asking for a little bit of her food. When the widow was asked this question, she did not know that God was doing something in Elijah. She didn't know anything about the fact that before Elijah got to the widow, that Elijah was sitting at a brook. And the guy had told the prophet Elijah, I need you to trust me. I'm trying to increase your faith. I'm trying to show you some things that you have never seen before. So first I'm going to have you sit by this brook. And then I'm going to send these ravens, these birds with your meat and your bread. And this is how you're going to eat for a few days. Can you imagine that? You got to wait for some birds. Talk about the health department calling. You got to wait for some birds to bring you your meat. Like, is it refrigerated, Lord? But Elijah is sitting there by this brook, and he's waiting for these birds to bring the meat and the bread, and they bring it, and he eats, and then he drinks out of the brook. Then all of a sudden, the brook dries up. So God tells Elijah, I'm going to increase your faith. You're going to go from that brook with the birds, and I'm going to take you over here, where there's a very poor widow waiting to help you. Can you imagine Elijah like, come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. I mean, saints, she was not the only widow at the time. There were some other widows. You had your wealthy widows. You had your middle class widows. You had your slightly sort of poor widows, but they was managing to scrape by. And then you had this last widow who only had a cup of flour. She was poor. Couldn't even get the oar, just P-O. So here she is, and God tells Elijah, I want you to go to her. I want you to skip all those other widows, and I want you to go to her and get your food from her. Talk about a test of faith. Talk about a test of faith that he had already sat by this brook, and he already was being fed by the birds, and God says, but I haven't shown you yet what I can do. I'm going to take you over here where you really think you can't get anything, and I'm going to show you even more. So Elijah goes to this widow because God is increasing his faith. What does that say to us, Glenville? We, as the pastoral staff, the leadership team, the elders and deacons, the campaign committee, we know it kind of seems odd that at this time, when we are experiencing the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression, when some of y'all in this room have lost your jobs, when about the other half of y'all have not gotten a raise or promotion or nothing in how many years, when the prices of gas are so high, when the prices of food are enormous, and here we are, God is saying, I want you to give more. I want you to sacrifice more. I'm trying to increase your faith. I'm trying to show you what I can do. God is saying, I had you by that brook. being fed by the ravens, and now I'm going to take you over here to the widow. And I want you to stand back and watch me feed you. I want you to feed me. So sometimes, saints, our giving is so that our faith or other faith, other people's faith, can be increased. So that was number two. Our first was that our giving introduced people to God. Our second is that our giving increases our faith. Our third one is that our giving can touch someone by helping them to be all that God called them to be. You see, the widow did not know that by helping the prophet Elijah, that she was helping one of the greatest prophets ever. She did not know that this prophet Elijah would sit by the brook and be fed. That this prophet Elijah would come and be fed by her. That then this prophet Elijah would go on, because God didn't stop testing his faith at the widow, that he would go on and he would have to defeat the prophets of Baal. This God that the people were serving wrong. She did not know that her giving was going to take Elijah from defeating those prophets of Baal to having Elijah being one of the first men to be raised up to the heavens and the chariots of fire, that this man that she was ministered to and being obedient to was going to be just taken up to heaven. He didn't even have to die. She didn't know just how special this person was that she was encountering. She didn't know that this was a man of God that God was going to use to change millions of lives. You know, saints, have you ever thought about the people that helped Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.? Have you ever thought about the teachers that invested in his life? Have you ever thought about the maintenance guy that worked at his school that came along and picked up the trash that he might have dropped? Have you ever thought about the mailman that delivered his mail? Have you ever thought about all those little people that were along the way helping them, but they had to give their part so that he could be his part? There's others, Sojourner Truth, saints, President Barack Obama. How many people helped him, scraped a little bit extra just to help him out along the way? You see, saints, our giving can touch other people by helping them to become the people that God has called them to be. You know, when I think back on Dr. Martin Luther King, many don't even know, some of you don't even realize, that a long time ago, Dr. King wanted to come to Cleveland. And he wanted to come to Cleveland and he wanted to share his message of freedom and equality. But saints, he wasn't from Cleveland. And a group of people had to decide, can I sacrifice? Can I give a little bit of extra money? Can I offer a little bit more of time or something to help Dr. King get to Cleveland? And saints, there are people right here, right now, in this place, that because they decided that I can give, I can sacrifice a little bit more, even when it doesn't seem that I have, they brought Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. and he stood in this very space, saints, right here at Glenville New Life Community Church. But it was because they realized, saints, that their giving will help someone else to be all that God is calling them to be. You know, saints, I think about all of our young people here at Glenville. We went through a couple of transitions of young people starting in the nursery, going through youth worship and pioneers, and they grow in the choirs, and then they get to that college, and we send them off. And sometimes we think, man, why do all the young people keep going away? We need some of them to stay. But saints, I believe that our vision has been too small. You see, saints, we have not realized all of what God has been doing all the time. It makes me so excited that God took these groups of young people, and not just any young people who know the word of God, young people who were taught by two of the best pastors who will never, ever yield to what the world believes. Young people who are not afraid to say that there is a Jesus Christ. And he took those young people and he positioned them all around the world, saints. He has them in California, saints. He has them down in Georgia, saints. He has them all the way to Afghanistan, saints. And we have yet to see the fullness of what God is going to do through all of these people, saints, because we decided to be faithful in our giving and to help other people become all that they could be. You know, saints, Pastor Toby talked last week about how our giving touches God. And she talked about the five love languages. Remember that? And she talked about the words of affirmation, quality time, acts of service, gifts, and physical touch. And she talked about how all of these are important, that we just cannot do one without the other. We can't just give a lot of money and not care about the words that we're saying. Let me show you an example. You see, saints, I can be over here pouring my money into this young person while someone else from Glenville can be over here tearing them down with their words. Saying things like, I know who you are, really. I saw what you did, saints. You just, you know, you ain't really all that. Tearing them down with our words, saints. The backbiting, the words, the gossiping, saints. We have got to get better as a church. We have got to get better, and not just in one area, in all the areas. In all the areas, coming in, giving somebody a pat on the back and saying, I'm glad you did a good job. Speaking words of encouragement and words of affirmation into them instead of bringing them down, saints. And our giving. And our giving, saints. You know, saints, we have yet to realize all that God is going to do through our young people. We have yet to see all the mighty works, all the lands that they will touch. Never did we imagine that Chris Webb was going to be in California. He is so talented, saints. Never did we imagine that Anita and Allison were going to be down south, saints. They are so talented, saints. Never did we imagine that Brandon was going to be all the way in Afghanistan, in a country that does not like Christians. He may be the only voice to somebody who does not know Jesus. And our Brandon, who came from right here at Glenville New Life Community Church, may get that opportunity. So our giving allows someone else to be all that they can be for Jesus Christ. The fourth way that our giving can touch someone is by saving them from death. Saving them from death. Many of us are familiar with a story in the Bible. It's a man named Nabal. His name means foolish. And he had a wife named Abigail. And Nabal had the opportunity to invest in a person of God, in a man of God. He had the opportunity to invest in a man of God, but Nabal said, no, I'm not doing that. Why should I give my meat to these people that I don't know? I don't even know those people. And saints, we realize here at Glenville, the pastoral staff, the team, the leaders, we realize that you are asking the same question. Why should you give your money to some people you don't know? Why should you help out? Well, saints, let me tell you why. God is calling all of us to give, to sacrifice, to grow in our faith, to go deeper than we've ever gone before. You see, saints, back 10 years ago, we never realized that Haiti was going to suffer the worst earthquake. But because we had already positioned ourselves in working with Haiti, we had already been working with an orphanage in Haiti, so that when the earthquake came, we already knew what to do. We didn't have to figure out where the money was going or how we was going to get it. We already had it because of our faithfulness, saints. And not only with Haiti, how many of us realized that we were going to have the opportunity to work with an Indian, a pastor from India, all the way on the other side of the world? None of us thought that was possible. And here it is that when this pastor, who prays for us on a weekly basis, all time, saints. When this pastor called us and said, my wife is sick and in the hospital and she needs some help. We didn't have to figure it out, saints. We already knew what we were going to do because we already had established our giving pattern, saints. And because of our gifts to them, saints, we help pay for her medical bills, which helped save her life. Jesus Christ is the largest example of how giving can save someone's life. He died on the cross. He died on the cross. He died on the cross so that all of us could have life, saints. Giving, this giving that we're asking for right now is a huge sacrifice, saints. And sometimes, saints, when we give, we put the needs of another person before our own. We decide to say, this person is more important right now than me. And I have firsthand testimony of how true that is, saints. When I was about 5 or 6 years old, I was just learning how to cross the street. Just walking, you know, I had my little toys playing, minding my business, walking across the street. Oops, I dropped the toy, reached down to pick it up. As I'm coming up, I turn around, there's a big old van coming my way. And it was like nose touching. Big conversion van coming my way, speeding down the street. And this man decided that my life was more important than his life. And he whisked in, saints, and he swooped me up, and it is because of his courage and his willingness to sacrifice that I'm standing here right now, saints. Now I want you to know, I don't know this man's name. I don't know what his face looks like. I don't know anything about him, but I'm so glad that he did what he did, saints. I'm so, so glad. Because had he decided that he didn't want to sacrifice, had he decided that his life was more valuable than my life, had he made one little choice different, I would be gone. And this man, saints, and I like to think of him as seeing, hearing a call from God. And God said to this man, would you look? That's my child right there in the street, and she needs you. And this man didn't stop to wait. He didn't question God. He didn't say, but why me? He ran up in the street and he swooped me up and he saved my life, saints. And in the same manner, saints, God is pointing us to some children that are in the streets that need us. And it's not the time to sit around talking about how can we do this, what can we do, not me. We need to stand up and it's our time. It's our time, saints. Our decision to give, our decision to sacrifice can save lives, saints. Save lives, saints. You know, saints, our fifth way that our giving touches others is actually a negative way. We don't even realize, saints, that when we make the decision not to give, not to sacrifice, we are hurting people. We cause hurt. Saints, look at our story from the New Testament, the rich young ruler. Jesus said, give all you have to the poor and come and follow me. And the man said, no, I'm not going to be able to do that. And he kept on going. But I thought about the story. What about the poor? What happened to the poor? They just continued to suffer, didn't they? No one offered them any help. You know, saints, last Sunday, Melinda and Bill Gates were on TV. And I made sure to go home and watch it because I wanted to see what they had to say. They were talking about giving away billions of dollars. I wanted to hear what they had to say. Shouldn't you think I should be listening? So they were talking about giving away 90% of their income. That's billions of dollars that they were talking about giving away. And they are doing an amazing job. They are helping people with HIV. They are helping people in India who have no homes. They are helping to educate many of the world's people that are in poverty, saints. And I thought, wow, what an amazing thing that they're doing. But then, saints, and I didn't want to complain. I didn't want to begrudge. But then I thought, but you still got a whole bunch of billions left. It's like you're giving away all those billions, but you still got all those billions over there. How many people could they help with those billions over there? How many, saints? But saints, we can't say anything different about ourselves. Because even though we don't have billions, we struggle with giving away 10%. And even though we think we don't have a lot, many of us have a lot more that we can give. Jesus is saying, test me. Test me and I will show you. I will show you. Saying, so when we don't give, it touches others in a negative way and we cause suffering. We cause suffering. You know, years ago, saints, when our church set out on the campaign, the first campaign that I was a part of, no one ever thought that a church with 200 people, about 200 members, that a church with about 200 members would be able to touch the lives of over 2 million people. 200 people touching 2 million people. When we're singing that song, "This is the way we praise," come on, y'all. Get a clap. 2 million people. Okay, that didn't make y'all clap. Let me help y'all out. Let me give you some more statistics. 2 million people on YouTube. That's just YouTube. 1 million people on our TVU network. That's 3 million people. Who would have thought 200 people could touch the lives of 3 million people because of our willingness to sacrifice and give. All right, that's still not enough to get y'all clapping, huh? A couple years back, some of our young people, Keon, Asia, Latoya, and Antonio, decided to be faithful and participate in a play called The Accident. Remember that? It's online. 750,000 people. 750,000 people have watched this movie, saints. 750,000 people have watched this movie that is about a young person that goes to hell and looks up and says to his friend, "Why didn't you tell me about Jesus?" I sat down and did the math, saints. If just one quarter, just a little bit percent of those people give their lives to Jesus Christ, that is 62,500 people. 62,500 people. This is the way we praise you. Clap your hands. This is the way we praise you. Clap your hands. God is good, saints. Not only have we been able to touch the lives over 2 million people, but 3 million people, probably even more than that, because we haven't even included the lives of the people that we touch right here in Glenville and in the greater Cleveland area, saints. And you see what number I did on that, because all of you have had funerals here, and I've been to all the funerals, and just one family fill up the whole building. So if you did that math and calculated how many of us times 500 people, because that's about how many people we can fit in the building, that's even thousands of more people that we have impacted, saints. Saints, you all got me going and on and on. Y'all gonna get me in trouble, so I'm about to close this message up. But our sacrifices on the behalf of Jesus Christ impact lives, saints. Impact lives. You know, God did not put us here to say, go to sleep and you'll wake up in heaven. God did not put us here to say you can live a life of sin, then pray at the very end and everything's going to be okay. God did not put us here to say you can take care of your own business and just mind your own stuff. Every one of us, we learned 10 years ago from the 40 Days of Purpose, every one of us are designed to make a difference in the lives of... Thank you. Every one of us are designed to make a difference in the life of the kingdom. It is now time to put that into action, saints. Time to put it into action, saints. Saints, when we give to God, it touches us. When we give to God, it touches God. When we give to God, it touches others. Decide today, saints, to make a difference in the lives of others for Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, we can hardly believe, Lord, that you looked down upon us. We can hardly believe, Lord, that you chose this little bitty tiny place at the corner of 105th Street in St. Clair, that you chose these little bitty people in this building. And you looked upon us and you said, "I want you. And not only do I want you and I choose you to be my own, I want you to tell over 4 million people who I am. Gracious God, thank you. Help us to be faithful in our giving, Lord, because we know that you are taking us to a new place in you, Lord Jesus, that there are more things that you have for us to do. So we give you all the praise for what you have already done, Lord Jesus, what you are currently doing right now, Lord Jesus, and what you yet shall do. And we give you all the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen.